Welcome back to Innovation. I'm Lori Walsh. When we fight bacteria with antibiotics, bacteria can become resistant or tolerant to those efforts. So how do we treat certain infections without antibiotics, especially in the future when they might no longer be effective in a certain treatment? And why does a bacteria which looks the same produce an uncomplicated condition in some people and life-threatening illness and death in others? Michael Shosse is a microbiologist leading a research team at the University of South Dakota investigating a form of streptococcus. And most of us are familiar with strep because we often get strep throat. So he's joining us now on the phone for a look at his research. Michael Shosse, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for the invite.
All right. Help us understand the scope of your research. What's the problem that you're trying to solve? Let's start there.
Exactly. So the problem is a lot of us are familiar with strep throat. Normally we go in, we get tested, we get amoxicillin, and typically we're better in hours, usually within 24 hours. What I'm focused on is a group of diseases caused by the same bacteria known as invasive group A strep diseases. These include toxic shock, flesh-eating disease, bacteremia, pneumonia. And while they're not common, the mortality of these diseases is 20 to 50%, and antibiotics don't work among those, obviously, that succumb to the disease. So we're looking for something else that physicians can provide these patients that are severely ill to try and decrease that mortality.
All right. Where do you begin tackling that problem from a research perspective? This is not you've been working on this problem for some time.
30 years.
Yeah.
it's been a while. You know, if it was easy, I tell my students, if it was easy, we wouldn't need to do it. It's not easy. So we've got a lot of projects. The one I'll talk about today is a little bit different. So the approach we're taking is mortality is high in these patients, and it's not due to antibiotic resistance per se, at least yet. But these bacteria produce an array of toxins, and it's kind of a fight between the bacterial toxins and the immune system, and whoever wins, you know, either the patient is cured or succumbs to the disease. And these toxins aren't produced all the time. They're produced in response to certain signals, and the bacteria actually kind of talk to one another inside the body via signaling molecules, oftentimes peptides. And so several years ago, we started to look for these signaling molecules that we thought would be involved in disease. So signaling molecules that the bacteria within the human body use to turn on toxins and cause disease. And the simple approach was, can we mess that up so they can't communicate? And then the toxins aren't produced and maybe have an adjunct or a replacement therapy for disease.
Fascinating. Can we disrupt somehow the process? And this is in conjunction with many studies trying to solve the same problem? Or tell me a little bit about how the research works. Are you taking multiple research approaches to solving the same problem?
So we are. We've got one approach that is more of a conventional approach, mm-hmm. where we're simply using antibodies. So these are molecules that when we get vaccinated, what the body responds with is the production of antibodies, and they bind to and ideally kill the infectious agent. So we've got that project in the hopper, and we're optimistic about that. This one is a little bit different in the sense that we're trying to disrupt the signaling, and that is a little bit more novel in the field.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it should be knock on wood, it should be non-toxic to the patient, so we wouldn't expect too many problems in that area, but you never know until you get further down the road. Yeah. With these therapeutics. So we've got those two, and then my a lot of my research is more fundamental, so trying to understand the signals that cause the bacteria to produce the toxins,
right,
and then think about ways, other ways, in addition to what we're trying to disrupt that. Because if they don't make the toxins, they don't cause disease. So, you know, instead of trying to kill them and select for resistance, maybe we can manage things a little bit better.
Right. So tell me more about these signaling molecules, these peptides. Help me understand exactly what that is. Is that something you see under a microscope? Is that something that you, like, for the non-scientific thinker, how do you know it's there?
Right. So we don't see them under a microscope. Okay. They're too small.
Yeah.
We detect them with biochemical methods, so a little bit hard to understand maybe, but we can also synthesize an atom, so add them back. So we know they're there in many bacteria. So the bacteria on your teeth right now, they produce these signaling molecules, causes the bacteria to form a biofilm, which is part of the reason we brush our teeth and they feel smoother when we're done. So these bacteria spit these or produce these outside the cell. They float around the body, and then other bacterial cells can recognize them. And the amazing thing is that causes the bacteria to work together as a community and not individual cells. So they all turn on toxin production together, or they all decide to make a biofilm.
So in theory, then, can they all turn off together?
Exactly.
Do we know yet, or is that part of the process of trying to discover?
That's what we're working on. You know, certain bacteria we know can, but we haven't explored that with the group A strep or strep pyogenes at that level.
So that's my question. Is it happening on its own in some cases where those bacteria turn off the toxin production?
Yep. So so this is a bacteria that only lives with humans.
Mm-hmm.
So a certain percentage of us carry the bacteria around and we have no disease. So that's where we get it. And so those bacteria aren't producing toxins. It's when it gets in these, especially the blood in the case of this organism, then it tends to start to try and fight off the white blood cells trying to kill it. So then we tend to see toxin production. But we know it's controlled. It's just a matter of figuring out ways for us to manipulate it in our favor.
So one of the things you said is, you know, trying to make sure this isn't, you know, damaging to the patient overall, or, you know, we're not, as you move down the road, seeing what's safe. How do you envision treatments? What are you kind of hoping, or is it too soon to sort of think about envisioning how a treatment would work?
You know, it is early, but my vision is currently you know, maybe not replace antibiotics for these invasive diseases, but in some cases the mortality is, you know, 20 to 70%. So anything that could help might turn the balance towards survival, and I think that's a good thing. So I would see this as a adjunct intravenous therapy for these very severe cases that are life-threatening. And as you alluded to, it should be specific. To our knowledge, it is to strep pyogenes, so that puts a little bit less of a burden on, you know, other complications associated with antibiotics. But, you know, as optimistic as I'd like to be, I'm not sure it's a replacement, but hopefully it would be, you know, have some value as an adjunct to kind of the common therapy.
Right. Tell me a little bit about your lab and you know, some of the you know, do you bring students in, other research scientists? How is the process happening in a lab?
So, you know, I talked a little bit about the antibody therapy project. You know, that's a collaborative effort with investigators in Tennessee and Oklahoma. I certainly bring students in. You know, I've had well over 30 undergraduates work on this. Interestingly, the peptide project, I've had about 11 high school students come in during the summer, and one of them was a high school student, Amari Weston, from Wagner, South Dakota, and she actually was the first one to show that adding this peptide affected one of the toxins that we know kill white blood cells. So that's pretty fun, and actually she decided to come to USD, and she's a freshman, and she's working in my lab now. And she's working with a what we call a postdoc. So, this is Andrea Herrera. So she got her PhD, and she's working here. And nicely enough, she's also from Wagner. So the two women have a connection and feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah,
and they're both working on the peptide project, and
maybe even some South Dakota solutions to some worldwide problems. How fascinating. Michael Shosey is a microbiologist leading a research team at the University of South Dakota, and we really appreciate your time today. Thanks. Come back and keep us posted as this research advances. It's fascinating.
Great. I'd love to. Thank you.